Just turn to the person next to you and say, God bless you this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. On the way here this morning, I carried with me a manky cos lettuce and a cucumber, which had been sitting on the floor in our lobby for, I don't know, the last 24 hours. And the reason being is because when it's a particular dilapidation and it's in a bad state, I find it too bad to put in the food caddy because it smells and it's not very nice. So I decided to take it and drop it in the bin on the way here, which is what I tend to do. There's a little secret, by the way. From time to time, I put it in the public bin because it gets picked up. I know where it goes. But the thing is, right, the first bin was full, so I had to carry it a bit further. So it was still in my hand, and I thought, yuck. And I didn't want to bring it to the hub and show you all, but I'm glad to say I got rid of it. But the point I wanted to make was that, seriously, I felt that sometimes you carry things which are not nice and they're like sin. It's a bit like somebody was saying this morning in that bag. Sometimes the things in it aren't very nice. And I did feel that what's wonderful about God and his grace is that sin can be like that. Dirty, smelly, revolting, and you want to hide it and throw it away. You just don't want people to see it. Fair enough. But you can be forgiven as soon as you give it to God. As soon as you put it in that bin, so to speak, it's gone, forgotten. And I just wanted to say that's a good thing to do. You can be forgiven, and it's wonderful. It doesn't hang around any further. Once it's gone, it's gone. Amen? Amen. Anyway, I'm not talking about cucumbers and lettuces this morning. It's actually the subject of, as you can see, healing. I felt that the Lord put that on my heart to bring this morning. But I had it a couple of weeks ago. It's not just today. It was a couple of weeks ago. So I was kind of interested to see that Joe last week spoke on seven aspects of the kingdom from Isaiah. I don't know if you remember those seven aspects, but one of them was healing. So it's very interesting to see that that subject is very much on God's heart, and he wants to bring it time and time again because it's part of the kingdom and it's something we need to take home and into our communities, into our workplaces. And that's what we're going to explore very briefly this morning. I'm not going to speak too long, but there are some aspects of healing I just want to highlight. And the first one is, please, Siobhan, is that there is natural healing that occurs. We need to recognise that the body is wonderfully and masterfully designed by our Creator. And whether you're aware of it or not, the body heals itself from time to time. It's part of a design that God put in it, which is amazing. And if you probably have experienced grazes on your skin and cuts, they do heal on their own. I'm not saying that there's some conditions out there where perhaps they don't heal, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, generally speaking, we do have our cuts and bruises healed, and that's wonderful. There's also the immune system, which is designed in our body to fight infection. And the body does a marvellous job in, it's too complicated to explain because I don't understand it either, but it's about fighting the viruses in our body to stop the blood being infected and taking those viruses around. And it's called the immune system. It's part of the body's defence mechanism, and God put it there, which is amazing. So there's natural healing, and natural healing occurs, and sometimes we forget that the body does that. Of course, there's practical steps like eating well, living well, taking care of your body, resting, sleeping. Those things help the body restore and repair. And diet, of course, is very important too. But Next slide, please. But the one thing I wanted to bring was from Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. The word says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words and do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." So in Proverbs, the writer is actually making it very clear that the words of God actually bring health to the body, which is an amazing aspect. So although there's natural healing, there's the word of God as well, which can heal. Just by following the word of God and digesting it into our souls, we can be well. Because that's what it says. "For they are life to those who find them," the words of God. Keep them in your heart. It brings health to your body. Remarkable. Maybe we'll explore that a little bit later. But there's also the liver. Do you know the liver is the only organ in the body which regenerates itself? If 90% of it is taken away, it will still grow back to 100%. Wow. Amazing design. Just before we move on, why don't we put our hands on our hearts and let's pray and thank the Lord for the health that we do have. Because I know we all have issues, we have illnesses, we have problems. But the point is, we're here this morning and we do have an aspect of health. And we have experienced health in our bodies. So let's just thank the Lord for that before we move on. So Father God, we thank you for natural healing and the way that the body repairs itself from damage and illness. And we do acknowledge that, Lord, because you put it there, and it's marvellous. We praise your name in Jesus. Amen. So it kind of leads on to the second aspect of healing I want to highlight, and that's number two, please, Siobhan. Medical healing comes next. So, yeah, when the body can't quite manage and there's problems, we do need to seek medical help and medicine, which is really good for us and necessary at times. I mean, take for instance, even from a minor thing, a headache, you can go and get a paracetamol and it works, and then you're headache free. But sometimes those headaches persist and there's a serious problem and you have to go and seek medical advice, and it could be something else. Now, the point I want to make is that the medical advice and the medical world are put there by God. They are there, trained and skilled, and they have abilities that are given to them by God, which is amazing. So medicine and medical staff are actually part of God's design. He's allowed us to discover what medicine can do. Over thousands of years, it's amazing what the body is able to have done to it. For instance, in terms of surgery, we can have transplants, we can have amputations safely, and we can have brain surgery and spinal surgery done as well without too much alarm, because once upon a time they couldn't do that and people used to suffer tremendously. And if you had an amputation, it was 50-50 whether you survived because of the infection afterwards. But there's people here I know that are medically trained, are in the medical profession, and just wanted to acknowledge those who are. Hands up if you are working for the health sector in some way. A couple people. Of course, there's the physical and there's the mental aspect as well. There's people that suffer in different degrees mentally as well as physically. So it's not just about health in that area. There are skilled professionals that can help mentally as well as physically. And there's surgeons, doctors, nurses, counsellors, physiotherapists, and the list goes on. But God has blessed those people to be able to do what they do and do it well. Next slide, please, Siobhan. And this is from Proverbs 17, verse 22. It says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." This is from Proverbs as well. So it's interesting to see that they did use medicine once upon a time in the Old Testament as well. And they used it in perhaps ways that we don't know. But they had medicine. But what's interesting here is that the writer is saying that a cheerful heart is like good medicine. So if you're cheerful, it's good for you. And if you're sad, perhaps it's not good for the bones. And there are some interesting stats out there about... About these things, which I'm just going to go and try and read. Yeah. Did you know that singing is good for you? You may know that, actually. But it is, it's good for you. And that... the benefits of singing are proven to be good for breathing, posture and muscle tension. So that's another thing. And there's also people that care for people. Do you know they live longer than people that don't care for people? It's been proven in tests and so that there's actually people who care for somebody or an individual, they will live longer than people that don't care for somebody. We're talking about people that just live on their own and just don't care for anyone. They don't live as long as those who do. And apparently grandparents, if you have grandchildren, I think the survey shows that generally speaking, they can live for 5 years longer than people that don't have grandchildren because they're looking after children. Yeah. Is that a blessing? It should be. And if you're generous, apparently that has blessings to your body as well. Apparently, if you're generous, it impacts your health and well-being in so many positive ways. It boosts mood, self-esteem, immune system as well. So these things are mentioned in the Word of God. Caring for people, being generous, singing to the Lord. I mean, it's all there, isn't it? To look after us and to do us good. But there's natural healing, there is medical healing, and there is another one we'll come to in a minute. But just before we go to the third type of healing, I'd just like us to split into three or four people groups. So with the people around you, two or three people, three or four, just around you. If we could pray for the medical personnel in the NHS, for the National Health System itself and the government. The reason I say the government is because the government have just come into power and it's Labour. And do you know that Labour were the first people to start the NHS back in 1948? So it's 76 years old, it is. So it'd be good to pray for the government because they're supposed to support the NHS and we hope that they'll keep doing that. It's a wonderful service when it works well, but it's under tremendous strain. But so if we can pray for the medical personnel, not just in the NHS, across the board, for the NHS and perhaps the government to make good decisions regarding it. So could we do that in about 5 minutes, yeah? People around you, yeah?
Thank you.
One more minute to go. Thank you. If we could draw those prayers to a conclusion, and we'll move on. Thank you for praying, everyone. We can carry on praying about these issues outside of this building. It doesn't have to just be this morning. These issues are important, so they're just prayer pointers, really, for what we can take home with us, and also motivate us to into action as well. So the third aspect of healing... Well, the third type of healing, Siobhan, if you don't mind hitting the slide, is supernatural healing. We've talked about the natural way the body heals. We talked about medicine and medical staff. They're both designed by God. And the third one is to do with God as well. But this is where God actually defies his own natural laws and goes beyond what we can explain or understand. And we call it supernatural because we don't understand it. It's a miracle. It's amazing. And also the medical profession are usually left scratching their heads. When somebody is incurable, suddenly becomes cured, amazingly. And there are some fantastic testimonies out there, so many, too many to count, even today, where God has healed people supernaturally. We probably all know somebody who's had an experience of that. So really I feel that the Lord really wants to take this aspect, well, all aspects, as I say, are from God, And if we can take it out into the community, this special gift of healing that God wants to give to people, then we, the church, are the instruments to be able to bring healing to the nation, so to speak. But we start with our neighbours, we start with our family, we start with the workplace. And all those are challenges, actually, because you think of praying for people, perhaps, that you don't know very well. It's pretty scary, isn't it? It's hard. It is hard. I mean, I'm not talking from any experience here. I just feel this is what the Lord wants to bring, but I need to do it myself. But if there's an opportunity and you see someone suffering and they're not very well, we have the answer to a certain extent. We do have the answer. I mean, I had someone on the van who works at the Bounty Club with me, and they were just not functioning very well. And I just said, you need to get a good night's sleep. That was my advice to them. Now, that was the natural healing that the body can give you when you have a good night's sleep. They felt better the next day. And also, they were working without breakfast. And I said, you need to have breakfast before you come on the van, because they were getting lightheaded. And they did, and they feel better. And I thought, that's just basic advice, yeah? Of course, the next one is about, you know, you need to go to a doctor if you can see that issue. Or you need to take this tablet, it'll make you better. Or this supplement will do you good. But of course, the third one is when they're really struggling and you don't have any answers. Can I pray for you? Is the answer. And then who knows what will happen. But don't be put off when it doesn't seem to happen. The answer, or the thing that we're asked to do, is to pray. And then the rest is down to God, which is up to him. So let's just take a quick look at one passage of scripture. Next slide, please, Siobhan. It's from Luke. It's chapter 8, verses 43-48. And actually, Marisha, would you mind reading that for me, please?
And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. And now she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace."
Thank you, Marisha. I love that passage. It's got so much in it. Just a couple of observations I want to bring out from it, if it's not... I mean, I think it probably speaks to people in different ways. It's just full of amazing stuff. And it is a miracle that's happened here. But one of the things I want to mention is that in the book of Luke, I picked Luke's version because actually there's one in Mark and Matthew as well. But they don't mention that she tried doctors for 12 years. They don't mention that. And I think it's interesting that Luke does, because we understand that Luke was in the medical profession. So he picks up that detail. But the thing is that the woman naturally wasn't being healed. Her body gave up. It wasn't working in a particular area. She was suffering with this bleeding. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that she spent all she had, 12 years, it says, medical professionals could not deal with the issue. And she was not able to be cured. So the second aspect of healing didn't work. So it left a desperation. I must get a supernatural healing. I must touch Jesus. And she felt that just touching his garment would do the job. And it did. And it's amazing that that worked. But the interesting thing is, I always felt that the other observation is that I felt it was a little bit harsh on Jesus when he says, "Who touched me?" And the woman's thinking, "I can't sneak away here, you know, through the crowd." And he wanted to know who it was. And then she came trembling, and I feel sorry for her because maybe she was full of trepidation. But the thing was, the interesting aspect is that he wanted, in front of the crowd, she told everyone what had happened. "I've been healed." And I feel that was really the point, that he wanted people to know that she had an issue, has now been healed, which obviously motivates and boosts everyone else up. But it's an acknowledgement of what God has done. So I feel that it's important that if something happens to us in our experience, if we've got a story, a testimony, something we can share with somebody, God wants us to take it and give it, because it's giving glory to him. And he can move then. He can move. He can move in that witness. He can move in that story. And I think it's important that we take courage from that. So what I want us to do next, this is just to finish up with, another slide please, Siobhan, is praying in those groups again for one another. So if there is something about an issue you have, very quickly share it with the group if you don't mind. Don't have to. But if there's something you feel you could share and you'd like prayer for, let's pray for one another. The second thing is, let's pray for opportunities to take that healing aspect to other people outside of this building. And of course, the third one is for the boldness and the courage to be able to do that, because it does take a lot of boldness to be able to do it. So I hope that's clear. So pray for one another, then pray for opportunities to pray for people out there, and the boldness and courage to do it. Is that okay, yeah? I'll give you plenty of time to do that. And that'll probably take us to the end of the meeting, so there's no hurry to finish up. When you've finished, you're finished. At the end of that meeting, I think that's... Do you want to say anything else, Helen? At the end of the meeting, it'd be teas and coffee, but please don't rush this bit. If you want to pray for each other, please take time to do that.